One of the first mutations was the development of sterility. A banana doesn't have any seed. Has anyone felt that they, when they've eaten a banana, that they've come across a seed? There is no seed in a banana, in an inedible banana. I wonder if any of you have actually seen a banana seed. If not, have a look at... would you like to pass those around? You can open it up and have a look at them if you like. Those are true seed from these wild species that occur in the forest in the Southeast Asian region. So thousands of years ago, some natural events occurred, not man-made. There wasn't any sort of GM being practiced then. There would have been some natural hybridizations between some of these different species, and there would have been a number of mutations as well. And we don't know when they occurred, but the mutations led to sterility, and they also led to a condition known as parthenocarpy. That means that there was no pollination of the flowers, but still the fruit developed. So that was a chance and very fortunate mutation that presents us here with a fruit, which has all the pulp that we eat, but doesn't have any seed in it. Because it doesn't have any seed in it, that plant isn't going to reproduce in any other way other than what we call vegetative propagation, meaning that you can cut off side shoots from the plant and grow those, but it doesn't produce any seed again. So from the time that these sterile plants first appeared in the forests, this plant has ceased to evolve, you might say. There's been no further genetic transfer, which is the basis and the success of most living organisms, the ability to exchange genes and adapt to new conditions. The banana actually has reached its end point evolutionarily. Some chance mutations may occur, but they're not going to necessarily have a significant effect on them. You will get differences in shape and perhaps flavour and so forth, minor differences. So these major events, fortunate for us, perhaps less fortunate, arguably less fortunate for the plant, in which these natural events produce these plants which would have occurred in the forest, and the original inhabitants, these thousands of years ago, would have found these plants, seen the fruit, or eaten the fruit, realized that it was a potential source of food, and thereafter propagated the plants by cutting away side shoots from them. And that's how bananas have spread. They spread from whatever points of origin in these countries, in this region. At some point, they crossed the Indian Ocean, and we don't actually know when, but it's probably in recorded times, meaning in 2,000-3,000 years, probably not long before then. And it's believed, not proven, that these fruit would have been, or these plants would have been taken across the Indian Ocean and entered Africa through Madagascar. Thereafter, they've spread throughout Africa. So I don't know those of you perhaps from Africa believing that bananas are native to Africa. That's not so. They may seem so, and they've become so much a part of many of the cultures in Africa. They are not. They are actually still an introduced crop. And there are the arrival of bananas in South America, the Caribbean and South America, coincided with the colonial expansion, if you like, of the Europeans into that region in the 15th, 16th centuries. So bananas didn't reach Latin America until in fact, very recent times. But interesting that as an export crop, bananas are exploited the most in the countries of the Caribbean and Central and South America. That's where bananas really are being grown most for the international export trade. The notations you'll see where I put A's and AB's and so forth refers to those two major wild species, Musa acuminata and Musa balbiziana, from which most of the varieties that we do eat nowadays are derived. I've talked about the Cavendish type, which is a triploid. It doesn't produce any fertile pollen and cannot be used it can't be bred. It's reached its evolutionary endpoint, as I said. There are other types. Now, I wonder if any of you here knows what these are. Bananas. All right. In a generic sense, you're absolutely right. They're all bananas. But this is a particular type of banana which I know as a plantain. It's a cooking banana, correct? But I'd like to go a little bit more specific there. It actually is what is called a plantain. Those of you, any from Latin Americans here? Colombianos? No? No? You also see them in Africa as well. But this is what we call a plantain. I was very familiar with it in the Caribbean. It's a cooking banana, and it is a true cooking banana because you cannot eat it without cooking it. Okay? If any of you have gone to the shops and bought these, you may, looking at that, decided the last thing you would buy. But I can assure you, this plantain is in tip-top condition to eat. It's just how it should be. This is still very green and can be left to ripen for quite a long time. These are plantains and can only be eaten cooked. And the interest from them is that they actually derive partly from the other species, Musa balbiziana, which has more starchy qualities about it. To add to the confusion, there are lots of varieties which have this bispecific origin. And many of those are eaten as cooking bananas. If you come from East Africa, cooking bananas are a major component of the diet. And there's some of them which actually ripen naturally and ripen and to this sort of colour and are eaten as a dessert fruit. And there are dozens and dozens of cultivars like that. And certainly in India, you will meet many, many different India and Thailand, Vietnam. You'll find lots and lots of varieties which could be derived purely from Musa acuminata, as is our Cavendish, or could be derived from Musa acuminata, Musa balbiziana hybrids, such as our plantain. But there's only one plantain, and that is the one that can only be eaten cooked.